Amen. I got a quick question before we get started. How many of y'all have a crazy family member? Raise your hand if you got a crazy family member. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, you might be the crazy family member. Amen. Just saying. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. Lord, we bless this church. We bless this pastoral family. We bless the work that you're doing here in Cortez. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. As Pastor Kyle was mentioning, Lord, we are soldiers tonight in your kingdom. And Lord, we just ask for a few minutes tonight on this Saturday night that you would visit us with your power and your anointing. God, we take authority over every demonic spirit of darkness and opposition that would come against your word tonight. Lord, as you do spiritual surgery on us to by your word tonight, speak to us, open our hearts, God, allow us to receive, and we come against every bit of pride and anger and frustration and anything we can be going through. Let us be arrested in our minds tonight for a few minutes to hear your word, God, and let fruit come forth from this. And I ask you just to use me, Lord, as I humble myself before you to bring forth what you've placed on my heart tonight, and I thank you for it. And I pray that nobody's going to walk out of these doors the same way they came in tonight. They're going to leave challenged, comforted, Lord, touched, healed, delivered, whatever they need tonight. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Would you open your Bibles to Psalms 91? I mean, that's a very familiar Psalms. Sometimes the familiar books are the ones that are the most powerful and sometimes the most neglected. Or we can just read them so much that we don't realize how powerful they are. Amen. And so, again, it's good to see new faces from the last time I came. And hopefully next time I come again, we'll see more new faces. Amen. And this church will continue to reach the city of Cortez. We love coming here. It's good to have my wife and my father with me. And we're excited about what God has done and what he's going to do tonight. I want to talk about, if you're taking notes, this is a message that I think is going to be a little bit challenging, but it's going to be good. It's going to be powerful. It's going to bring forth some fruit, and it's going to have two sides to the coin of this message. You're going to be here tonight. You're going to take one side or the other. Everybody will take a side on this message. It will affect you in one way or another, and I want to call it the secret place, the secret place. And if you read Psalms 91, I don't know if I'm, as I start to read, I'll decide by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read all these verses. If not, you can go back and read it later, but I definitely want to focus on the beginning and the end of these verses that I have. So Psalms 91, verse 1 says this, most of us know it. It says, he who dwells, and I told the people at the discipleship this morning, don't be afraid to mark your Bible. Don't be afraid to highlight your Bible. And I want to focus on that word dwells. That talks about having a permanent residency. How many know we dwell somewhere? Amen? And it says to dwell, he who dwells, and it says right here, the title of the message, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, I want you to think for a few minutes tonight, and we'll read a little bit more here. But if you read this entire chapter, you're going to see so many promises from God's word. I mean, amazing promises. And you're going to see that if you'll listen to what he's saying here, he's saying, I need you to abide or reside, take residency under my wings, in my presence, in a place that nobody else sees. That's why it's called the secret place. And as we get into this, you'll maybe start to see the direction that the Lord wants us to go. But I've been feeling this for about the last year or two, that this is an important message. It's a challenging message. It's a message to find out where we live. And I'm not talking about where we live tonight in a revival or a Sunday morning at church or Wednesday night at church or Tuesday night at a prayer meeting, but where do we abide in our vehicles? Where do we abide when we're by ourselves? Where do we abide when we're at work? Where are we residing when other people are not around? When we're not around church people, how many know that who we really are has a lot to do with not what we see at church, but the fact that there is a real person in us that sometimes we can we can be a different person here than we are outside of church. Anybody agree with that? And that's a battle. I think today a lot of Christians are what I call chameleon Christians. And you everybody know what a chameleon is, right? That chameleon, whatever he gets around, he looks like. And today a lot of Christians are chameleon Christians. If they're around Christians, then they act like Christians. If they're around the world, they act like the world. I mean, no, that's not God's will. And so I want to talk about two coins tonight. I want to talk first about the part of where God wants us to be. He wants us to have a secret place. He wants us to have a place where nobody else is going but us and God. It's alone time. It's secret time. It's precious time. It's powerful time. And that's the intent of this. And as we do that and we get that place where we realize we have a secret place with God, I was even encouraging, again, I don't know all whose kids they are, but some of the grandkids from Pastor Bland today, some of the older ones, I was encouraging them, don't ever let anything you see in your life affect your personal walk with the Lord. We're always challenging our kids and our church and the people in my challenging myself, challenging my wife. Don't let the things of this world change who you are with God. Circumstances and problems and trials can affect your walk a lot of times. And you can think, this is God's fault. How many know it's never God's fault? It's never God's fault. God is on our side, like Pastor said earlier. He's with us. He has a great plan for us. So when things aren't going the way they're supposed to go, it's not God. It's something's going on that we need to deal with, or something is being done wrong on our part, but it's never God, and God is always working, as I said last night. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you'll see there, if you want to read it later, that he'll deliver us. It says he'll deliver us from a bunch of different things. And, for example, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side. They won't come near you. It says you'll see that the Lord is your refuge later on in those verses. It says he's even the Most High is your dwelling place. It says no evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. He'll give his angels charge over you. He'll keep you in all your ways. These are promises in the Bible, amen, in Psalms 91. And then a little later down, around 13, 14, 15, he says, because he set his love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And verse 16 says, I will deliver him and honor him. Listen to this. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He's talking to a person who has a personal relationship with Jesus. I've been talking about, I said a little bit last night, I've been saying this a lot, in our church, I see, you know, I was raised in church, I grew up in church, I've been in church all my life, sometimes because I wanted to be and sometimes because I didn't. Amen, how many know what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, today we have a lot of people, I think a lot of people are trying to get into heaven riding the coattails of their parents or their grandparents or their church. And that's not how it's going to work. Amen? At the end of the day, we're all going to stand before God by ourselves. And so we need to find a dwelling place. God wants you to find a place with him that he's the person you run to in trials. He's the person that is your refuge when things are going wrong. There's nothing wrong with having friends and family and people that you can call upon to help you. But he wants to be the one that you run to. He wants to be the refuge. That is his desire. Do you know that's why how he made us and why he made us? It's to worship him, to spend time with him, to be our source of everything. And so he wants us to get to a place, and sometimes he allows these things to happen with the hope that we will run to his presence. But how many know, if we're honest, a lot of times we don't run to him. A lot of times we run away from him. A lot of times we hide from him. I like what Pastor just said right before I came up. We're real people. We need to be real with God. Amen? And I'm going to get into that a little bit more here in a moment. But this verse says, he who dwells. That means it's not a visit. It's not a glance. It's a permanent residence in the presence of God. How many would like to get to a place where no matter what you're going through in your life, you're in a permanent residence in the presence of God? God is, how many know he is right there, but we don't always give him his place. And so you'll understand, what is the secret place? It's not, I'm not talking about a physical room, that's good, a prayer room, or a mountain to go pray on a mountain or a building. It can include those. It can be a prayer room. It can be a place that you go to be alone with God. But listen to this. I want you, if you're taking notes, to write this down. If you're not, to remember this, this is the key to the message. The secret place is the true condition of your heart. The secret place is the true condition of your heart. Listen to this. The state of your spirit before God. Okay? I'm just going to stay there for just a second. I want you to meditate on that. The secret place is the true condition of your heart. I can look a certain way tonight. I can have a jacket on and a tie, and I can look nice, and I can present myself a certain way, and I can be someone totally, absolutely different on the inside. Right? Or I could be looking real dirty. I could have dirty clothes on, and you still wouldn't be able to tell what the inside of my life looks like. It's not the outward appearance that you can judge someone by. God knows the true state of your heart, and that is what the secret place is, the true state. And listen, only God knows the true state of your heart. Only God knows the true state of my heart. Amen? It's a heart-to-heart encounter between you and your Creator. It's a place where you commune with God privately. It's a place that you go to when you're hurting. It's a place that you go to when you're happy. It's a place that you go to when you're struggling. It's your secret place. Listen, it's where your heart meets God's heart. How many know that God wants that from us? That's what He intended. How many have realized tonight that God, when He made us, and some homework tonight would be to read Psalms 139 if you've never read that chapter. What an amazing chapter about how God made us. And the Bible says he knew, and it's different than Jeremiah where it says He knew us before we were formed. It says, I knew, I was there in when the inward parts were being formed. And before we even existed, like I like to say, before we were even a flash in our Father's eyes. Way before then, God had a plan for us. And how many know when He made us, He actually made us with a hole in our heart. He left a hole there to be filled. And then all our life, we figure out, what am I filling that hole with? And today, the answer that the world has is a bottle, or pills, or relationships, or all the different things that this world looks for. Many of you might be struggling with that tonight, or have struggled with that in the past. Whatever it takes to fill that hole. God left that hole there on purpose, but you know who He left it for? Him. He left the hole to be filled by Him. If anything else is filling the hole, you're never going to be whole. If you're trying to put the square into the circle, or the circle into the square, it's when you're putting the drugs, the alcohol, the relationships, the career, all these different, and you're trying to push that in to fill the hole that only God can fill. Amen? It's your secret, private chamber with God. Listen to this. And where God reveals His thoughts. How many would believe tonight that God wants to speak more than we hear? We're in a busy world. A busy world. And not even on purpose. Today, there's so much technology and so much stuff going on. Even in Cortez. Even to me, this is a very slow city. Coming from where I come from the Metroplex. It's about 8 or 9 million people where I live. So this is very small. And we were walking around the one street, amen, the square. We call it square in Texas. You guys call it the strip or the main road. It's a slow pace here. But even the slow pace here is fast today compared to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. And there's so much bombarding us and taking our time. God wants us to spend time with Him. But we've got so much to deal with. He wants to give us direction. Let me believe God wants to guide you tonight. He wants to impart vision into your heart. He wants to share His secrets with you in our place of secrecy with the Lord, spending time with Him. It's your private changer with God. Listen to this, where divine exchange happens. If we're doing it right and we're spending time with God, there's a divine exchange. God Himself is revealing Himself to us through His Word in time of prayer. Anybody who's ever done any kind of athletics, soccer, football, baseball, basketball, track, any kind of athletics knows that that what really shows up on a team when they win a championship or they're successful, if it's boxing, whatever it is the preseason. The preseason is what nobody sees. Any athlete that's ever done any athletics hates preseason. It's the worst part of being an athlete. It's where you go to run and no one's watching. It's the time where you're training and no one's giving you a pat on the back. But you're doing all that in a place of secrecy, sweating when no one else is sweating, working when no one else is working, so that when you get into public eyes and you play the sport, you excel in it. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. What we do in public, what God does through us in public, comes from our time spent with God in the secret place. I heard that at a very young age of being saved. The evangelist who led me to the Lord told me in the very beginning, I asked him how, because obviously I was very influenced by him and touched by his ministry. He would travel around the United States and preach these revivals. And I asked him, what's the key? And he said, your time spent with God. He said, you have to pay a price. You have to spend time with God. And that's always been something that I've understood. Anybody who sings good, anybody who plays an instrument, anybody who does anything successful, how many know when you get up to do tonight to play the keyboard, Pastor Bland did not just wake up one day and play the keyboard. Pastor Kyle wasn't playing the guitar and the bass and the drum. That doesn't just happen. It's by yourself practicing. It's what's not seen that's later seen in public. Anything that's done like that is what has to happen in the secret place to be successful. Amen? Somebody would agree tonight that God wants to have a time with us. He wants us to have a place that we go to, a time that we spend with him, so that he can fill that void in our heart that only he can fill, and we make sure that nothing else fills it. Amen? So while you're here, and now we're going to take another side of the coin, I want you just to wiggle your toes a little bit. Everybody just wiggle your toes, okay, because I might step on them. Everybody wiggled your toes? All right, just in case, okay? The Holy Spirit's going to step on them, not me. So listen to this. What I just talked about for the last few minutes, that's the intent of the secret place with God. His intent is blessing. His intent is communion with you. His intent is to speak to you. His intent is to know you and to build you and to grow you. But listen to this. What if that is not what your secret place looks like? What if you're one person in public and a different person when nobody's around? It got quiet in here. Amen? How many would agree that that's very possible? We can be somebody in public. And I talked about this last night, and I've been talking about this. The spirit that I see in the church is a lot of, and this is nothing new, but I believe it's a little stronger now than it was before. The spirit of what we would call hypocrisy. Where you're trying to impress somebody instead of impressing God. Right? And so, how many have ever heard of the Epstein files? Right? That's something coming out right now pretty big. That's all over the news. And I thought as I was thinking about this, I started thinking about this Epstein guy and the Epstein files and all this stuff on the news. And I started thinking, you know, that we would think today that the elite are not accountable. They don't think they've got an answer to anybody, but guess what? Stuff's starting to come out, and the elite's going to have to answer. But when you think about the Epstein files, and you think about what some guy knew, or some people knew about people, how much more does God know about us? Amen? How about the God files? God knows who we are when we're not at church. Every one of us is going to answer to God one day for our lives. Amen? We have to get to a place where we realize that. It's going to bring fruit out of our lives. But sometimes we can get busy in life and going through life and start doing things and not realize that we have compromised in some areas of our life. We've started to do things we didn't do before. We've started to allow things we didn't allow before. We've started to change the standard that we had before, and it's gotten less and less and less until you don't even realize where you're at. Did you know when you drift away, like Hebrews says, drifting away is not even noticed? Has anybody here ever been to the ocean? Raise your hand if you've been to the ocean. Wow, quite a few. I didn't think so many had been gone. I know you got no oceans close to here. But if you've ever gone to the ocean and you put your towel and your whatever, your belongings in the water, in the sand, and you go get in the water, whether you go all in like Pastor Kyle said or you stand up to your ankles, you get in the water and you start letting the waves hit you and you start splashing around and you start jumping up and down and the waves hit you and you start playing and having fun and getting wet. All of a sudden, you look back at the sand, and your stuff is 20 or 30 feet down the way. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You didn't realize you were drifting away. And that's what happens to us as Christians many times. We start to compromise a little bit. We start to focus on the wrong things. We get away from the secret place with God, and we start to drift, and before we know it, we're not even in His presence anymore. We're doing things we said we'd never do before. I was shocked a couple of years ago. Some of you might know this name. This is a perfect example. How many know who Ravi Zacharias is? Anybody know who he is? He was a person that I obviously never met in my life, but he was someone I listened to a lot. Very powerful preacher, apologetic, and very, very well versed in the Bible, and somebody I admired. I listened to him, and I learned from him. You know, on videos and different stuff like that. Help me know what happened to him. Tragic. Came out in, I think he was around COVID, 2020. He died at 74 years old. And everything that everybody ever thought he was an absolute lie. He was a pervert. He had all kinds, he was spending ministry money on all kinds of things. But if you looked at this guy, There's no way you could ever think that would be possible. But all this stuff came out after he died. Think about his family. Think about the kids who thought they knew somebody and thought they knew who their dad was, thought they knew who their grandpa was, and he comes out to be somebody totally different. How sad is that? But see, we saw that here on the earth, but the truth is, church, at the end, when we stand before God, all that's going to come out. It's all going to come out, and it's okay that it's quiet. It's okay to be quiet. This is a message that's very needed today in church. We need to stop and count the cost and realize that we can get so busy with ministry, we can get so busy with life, that we can forget that we're going to stand one day before God, and that tonight and tomorrow and last night and 10 minutes ago and in 10 hours and 2 weeks ago and 2 weeks from now and 1 month ago and 1 month from now, God sees everything. Can I get an amen on that? Everything. So we have to watch ourselves. We have to abide in that secret place. Man, in Texas, I don't know if you guys have seen the news, we've had an epidemic of pastors falling. A lot of them mega church pastors, but 15 to 20 major, one of them major pastors, his name was Robert Morris of Gateway Church, one of the largest churches in the United States, fell and just got out of jail, actually. All this stuff's happening. You know why? Because we get so busy with ministry that we forget who we're serving. I'm not here serving you tonight. I'm serving God. Amen? You're not serving your pastor. You're serving the Lord. So I want to look at Luke chapter 8, verse 16, and look at a couple verses here. Verses 16 to 18. Just give me an amen when you get there. And if you don't have time to look at it, I'll read it. But Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 16 says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who may enter may see the light." Everybody there? Verse 17, listen to this. "For nothing," can you shout that out? "Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, I'll just read it. Says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Amen? How many would agree with me tonight that there is a lack of the fear of God in church today? I know that one thing that has kept me my entire life is the fear of God. Now, I have an advantage over some people. When I got saved, I got saved in a fire and brimstone message. The preacher was preaching on hell. So I didn't get saved on a Joel Osteen, smile the whole message, you can be a champion message. Amen. I got saved from a man who was describing hell very vividly, because the Bible describes it very vividly. And at the end of the service, when I was about to go home and get away and escape and continue my life, God said, that place he's describing, that's where you're going tonight. That's what God said. Tonight, if you don't change your life. So I might have a little bit of advantage of the fear of God, because I had a revelation of hell. And I realized that that was the place I was headed if I didn't change my life. And thank God that night I was smart enough to change my life that night, because God didn't say it in 2 weeks. He said tonight. And I ran down to the altar, if anybody doesn't know my testimony, and I spent 3 hours at that altar. Had an encounter with Jesus. When I got up, only my parents and the pastor and the evangelist were left. Everybody was gone. God changed my life that night, and a fear of God came into my life. I don't fear man. I fear God. Because he's the one I'm going to stand before. He's the one I'm going to give an ultimate account to. If I'm going to be a good husband to my wife, I need to fear God. If I'm going to be a good parent to my kids, I need to fear God. If I'm going to be a good leader and preach the gospel, I need to fear God. A reverent, holy fear. Amen? This verse says right here, to him the eyes are open, and we will give an account. Amen? How many believe in the judgment seat of Christ tonight? The judgment seat of Christ is going to settle, listen to this, what your Christian life actually amounted to. Did y'all hear that? What your Christian life actually amounted to, not what you claimed that it was. A man can talk doctrine, argue theology, look spiritual in public, and stand empty-handed that day. Amen? Paul warned directly in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire is the great equalizer. Amen? We need fire in our lives. And when you're spending time in the presence of the Lord, he's not going to let you off the hook. He's going to speak to you. He's going to say that attitude you have is not right. He's going to say that gossip that you're doing isn't right. He's going to say that jealousy that you have needs to change. He's going to say that unforgiveness that you have in your heart needs to come out. He's going to talk to you the way you need to hear it. But you know what we do a lot of times? We run from the presence of the Lord because we don't want to hear what he's going to say. How many would rather hear a reprimand from the Lord than from a man? Amen. Man's ain't going to do nothing to you, but God's will change your heart. Amen. Listen closely. It does not respect titles. When we stand before the Lord, that title of Rabbi Zacharias doesn't mean anything. The title of pastor doesn't mean anything. It doesn't respect popularity. Today, everybody's popular, and you got all these pastors and preachers and leaders who have millions of followers. That's not going to be respected on the day of judgment. It's not going to fly. Listen to this. Family ties. Reputation. It's not going to help. My pastor, my dad, my father, my grandpa, my sister, my brother, it's not going to fly. It's going to reveal substance. The fire on the day of judgment is going to reveal substance. How many have read it? Wood, hay, and stubble. Now listen, I'm not even talking tonight. I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We know the great white throne judgment, if you know your Bible, is the one you definitely don't want to be at. That means you rejected Christ. I'm talking to all of us as if we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and I hope we all are. But the Bible says that everything we've ever done, not sins, but things we've done for the Lord, are going to go through that fire, and the wood, the hay, and the stubble are going to burn. That's going to be the opportunities that we had and we didn't take advantage of. That's going to be the things that we could have done different. And it says they may look impressive, but they're not going to survive the flame. Only what's done for Jesus Christ in obedience to Christ is going to remain. Amen? Now listen to this. This is why motives matter as much as action. Motives matter as much as action. God is not measuring what you built. He's measuring what you built it for. Think about that. Why did you do what you do? How many know that at the end of the day, God wants our motives to be for Him, for His glory? That's a daily work we got to work on to make sure that what we're doing is for Him. Matthew 6:1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Isn't that powerful? Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now listen to this. That means a man or a woman can do the right thing for the wrong reason. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. If it was done for an applause, the applause is the only award you're ever going to get. If you do something for recognition, the recognition is your reward. I preached a message many years ago. I don't know if it was at conference or in our church that I remember the title. I'm not working for a pat on the back. I'm working for a crown. You get a pat on the back, that was it. Someone claps for you, that's it. But what you do for the Lord is going to last. And it's going to come out. Just recently, this is a good example of the judgment seat of Christ. Just recently, one of our guys in our church, he's about 20, 21, graduated from some kind of institute where he's a mechanic. You know, all that we're talking about that today about trades, you know, plumbing, electric. He's a mechanic. So he graduated, and it was at this very large church, probably 2,000 or 3,000 seat church. And we walked into that church, and I told my dad, "Man, this makes me feel like a peon." When you walk into a church that big, it's like, "I ain't doing nothing." We walked into the sanctuary, and it was packed, and we were in the balcony. And they started to have these graduates come forward. And as they were, I actually ate breakfast that morning after discipleship with this guy from my church, Chris, that graduated. He said, "Everybody's going to get rewards." He said, "Some of us have some of us have a lot, some of us have none." And I thought, wow, that sounds like the judgment seat of Christ. And so they start naming off names, and some of the people, they'd get up and they'd say their name, they'd get their diploma, they didn't have any tassels around them, they just had the gown. They said their name, and that was it. And then they went across the stage, took their picture, and went on. Others, they'd say their name, they'd say this, that, and the other, and they'd say an award, and they'd say a reward. There were several guys and women that went across that stage that from when they got across this gigantic church, from the moment they said their name, they told them to walk slow. So they're walking slow to go get their diploma. They get their diploma, they're walking. So the entire time this guy's walking across the stage, they're saying this award, this award, this award, this award, this award, this award, and they just keep going and going and going. So much that when the person was off the stage heading back to their seat, they were still naming awards. That's what I want it to look like when I get to heaven. I want them to take a long time. I've always joked about, I want to hear the beat that goes backwards. Beep, 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 beep. I want them to have to do that with a forklift with my reward. Amen? Because that's what shows our true love for the Lord, our reward. We're not doing it because we want that pat on the back. We're doing it because we truly love Jesus. And the Bible tells us that we're going to lay our crowns back at Jesus' feet. How many don't want to get to heaven empty-handed? Amen? All the stuff we do in public starts in private. When we're lacking, when we're not seeing fruit, it's because we're lacking in the place of the secret place. When we're seeing fruit and God is moving and God is using us, something good is happening in the secret place. Amen? Everybody still here? What's done in secret is for His glory alone, and no fire can destroy it. The judgment seat will expose whether Christ was truly first or just merely included. I mean, we want Jesus to be everything tonight. The judgment seat will expose your secret place. Here's just a couple more verses tonight, and you don't have to look for them, but listen. Proverbs 18:21 says death and life, does anybody know how to finish it, are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen? I'm a pastor, so I can say this. I say it in our church too. If you're eating people for dinner, that you're going to eat what you're going to eat your own words. Amen? Amen? What we say in private, you know, one of the worst things you can possibly do as a member of the church and a child of God is talk bad about your leadership to your kids. Absolute worst thing you can do. You want them to live for the Lord, but you talk about them at home. I know that doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen in our church either. Amen? Doesn't happen anywhere, I'm sure. Does anybody know what I'm saying? Got awful quiet in here. Remember when I asked you to raise your hand if you had any crazy family members? Amen. Maybe just say amen every once in a while to push it off you. Right? We're going to eat it. We're going to eat the fruit. One of my favorite verses, and I used to use this a lot in basketball. Some of the guys in our church that have gotten saved are pastoring today because of this. Is Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I'd be playing with these guys, and they'd be cussing up a storm. And I was trying to keep my testimony even when we'd get mad or upset in a physical game of basketball. And sometimes we'd get to know these guys, and they'd say they were Christians. And they'd say they went to church, because I'm always trying to get them to go to church. And, oh, I got a church. I go to church. And I'm thinking, what church do you go to? And I would tell our guys, if you're going to talk like that, don't tell them what church you go to. Amen? Don't put the sticker on the car. Don't say that you're a Christian. Amen? But I would tell them, you need to go home. I would tell them this. I'd be playing with a guy that he claimed to be a Christian, and we'd be covering each other and be scoring and playing and all that. And I'd say, when you get home tonight, go read Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I'd just leave it with him. It says, I say to you, every idle word men speak, they'll be given an account of it on day of judgment. Every idle word. Sometimes we think we're saying something that's not important, and it's an idle word. It's a spoken word. It says, "For your by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Amen? So I want to give you some homework, as I always do, Romans chapter 2. I want you to read the whole chapter, but listen to this as I begin to close tonight. It says, "Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and between themselves accusing of themselves." It says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So he's going to judge the secret place. How many want your secret place to be a good place? Amen? Ecclesiastes 12, as I close, says this, "For God will bring," verse 14, "every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Amen? Church, this is a sobering word, because we need to be reminded when we want to say something we shouldn't say. We have a saying in Spanish. Anybody speak Spanish in here? Do I have any Spanish speakers at all? A couple? Well, most of you won't understand this anyways. Calladita más bonita. Means when you're quiet, you look better. Amen? How many know sometimes we just need to? We tell our kids that, don't we? Sometimes we just need to learn to, what is the saying in English? If you're not going to say something good, don't say anything at all. And then Jesus would take it one step further and say, don't think it either. Amen? Don't think it either. But my point is tonight, if you haven't got it, is we need to be reminded on a daily basis and an hourly basis, not a fear of this, like God's wanting to hurt us, but understanding that God sees everything. God sees who I am when nobody else is around. I can get up every week and preach in my church. I told my church, I could be preaching to you every week, and you see me at church, and you see me at different places, and I could be a totally different person at home. I could be living a totally different lifestyle. And unfortunately, that happens today. And people don't know it. That's why lots of people are going to use it as an excuse. Well, that's why I don't go to church, because everybody's hypocrites. Yeah, that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly. Amen. Because everybody's a hypocrite in some way. If we're being real, we're all hypocrites. We all have to work on that. We all have to say, Lord, search my heart. But you know where that happens? It happens in the secret place. Now, to end on a good note, listen to this. How many want to be faithful tonight? For the faithful, and here's the good news. If you came in here tonight and this thing's been hitting you right between the eyes, all you got to do is say, Lord, I am sorry that I have allowed my secret place to be the wrong place.
That's all you got to do. That's the great mercy of God. But for the faithful, and I believe that's all of us in here tonight, it says the judgment seat will be a moment of unspeakable honor. Paul facing death said, and how many know Paul is a good example of someone who can turn it around? Paul didn't just say things against Christians. He killed Christians. But he said with confidence, as he was going to be with the Lord, and this, and I want to say this is pretty cool. I had an amazing moment that was very, I'll never stop thanking God for it. A few years ago, we got to go preach for Pastor Don and Loretta in Ireland. And Carla's always wanted to go to Italy, and so we took a plane over to Rome. And that's an amazing city. Rome is an unbelievable city. That, to see that the structures and all that is unbelievable. But Carla knows, all I wanted to do was go see the prison that Paul was in. And I got to walk into the prison and go downstairs and stand in the prison. I've got video. In the prison room, where it was very scary, unbelievable. You're talking about thousands of years ago, where he wrote the verse, I am being poured out as a drink offering. In that prison, I got to stand in that place. We need to be reminded, church, like I said yesterday, this is not a book of fables. This is a book of history. And it's real. And just as real as the history is, the future is going to be the real as well. And we are going to stand before God. And so he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Listen, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. Notice who gives the crown. The Lord. Your pastor is not going to give you the crown. Your spouse is not going to give you the crown. It's the Lord himself. So who should we be working for? Who should we be honoring? Who should we be honoring? Jesus. We don't do it for man. We don't do it for the church. We do it for the Lord. Every unseen sacrifice, listen, every act, quiet act of obedience, every moment you choose Jesus over your self-will will be remembered there. Did you know there's an entire book called the Book of Remembrance that Jesus is writing in for us to be revealed? The judgment seat is not a place of examination. Listen, it's a place where Christ publicly honors those who lived for him when the world did not care. Let me know, he is a good God. The Bible says his reward is with him. And so we need to be reminded of that. It's easy to be sucked into pleasing a man or pleasing people or thinking that nobody knows. But we need to be reminded, there is no ceiling between us and God. God sees everything. Amen. Lord, tonight as we close this service and we pray for a few minutes at the altar, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would challenge us, comfort us, convict us, move in us tonight, God, to hear your voice, to understand, Lord, this is a message that I am constantly reminding myself of, Lord. I'm going to stand before you one day, and I want to give an account of you. I want to honor you with my life. I know I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. I know I need to deal with many things in my life all the time, Lord, but I'm reminded that, Lord, my motives are so important, why I do what I do. And, Lord, today I'm doing what I'm doing because I love you. I love you, and I love who you are. And, Lord, I know tonight that you see everything. You see the good. You see the bad. You see the ugly, Lord. Lord, across this congregation of wonderful people tonight, Lord, let your spirit minister and deal where it needs to deal, God. Lord, where there needs to be conviction, let there be conviction. Where there needs to be comfort, let there be comfort. Where there needs to be affirmation, let there be affirmation, God. Lord, whatever it is we need tonight, Lord, meet us right where we are, Lord. And let us be reminded tonight, Lord, that we are going to stand and give an account for everything we've done. And Lord, so we need to be reminded, we're not doing these things to be saved tonight. We're doing these things, Lord, so that we can thank the one who saved us. And we can honor him with our lives and not just our words, God. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight,